Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
This is like a Christian who says, there's nothing better for me than to leave church and go out and live in the world, to live apart from God, to live among the ungodly. It's not that we aren't scattered among the ungodly, because we are. We have a unique job given to us by God to be the light of the world. But we are also to encourage one another.
David, on the run from Saul and discouraged, made some very bad choices. Among them, to run to enemy territory and hang out with the enemies of Israel. David needed to run to God and trust Him and pray for His protection. His prayers gave us the Psalms. With more lessons from the life of David out of 1 Samuel 27 through 30, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
As chapter 27 of 1 Samuel opens up, David has been on the run from Saul for over a decade. He's been in Israel that entire time, which is a fairly small territory. He's had near escapes from Saul on just a handful of occasions. But he's also been doing some things for God while he's in Israel. God has sent him on missions as the future king to do certain things. It becomes obvious at this point in chapter 27 that he is discouraged. And he reacts, which leads to some bad decisions. He reacts to his discouragement, leading to some bad decisions. The title of our message today is What Not to Do When Discouraged. And we learn this from David. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of direction about avoiding discouragement and what causes discouragement. By the way, people in the Bible got discouraged. Not only David, but other people get discouraged as well. Even the psalmist, why so downcast, O my soul, and try to lift up their soul and their heart. We all face discouragement, difficult times in our lives. But the Bible does tell us how to fight against it. God tells Joshua in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. So his encouragement was to be strong and courageous and don't be dismayed. But the reason is because God's with him wherever he would go. God's with you. So God's working in your life in whatever circumstances you're facing and going through. Paul makes this statement in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side. We are crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not dismayed. He goes on to say just a little while later in the same book, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So even though there are difficulties and dark times and discouraging circumstances, we put our hope in the one who is always with us, who said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. In Paul again says to the Philippians in Philippians 4, 12 through 13, I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And I love this. This is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the reason that I say that is because that verse is often misused. People will use it out of context. They'll say, I'm going to go out and do great things for Jesus because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's fine to make that statement, but how did Paul use it? I know how to struggle. I know how to suffer. I know that in the midst of suffering, I can make it through because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's in those dark moments and those dark times that you look at it and you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He can take me through this. He can take me through good times and he can take me through difficult times. And this is where David ends up failing. What Paul is saying is, I will not be discouraged by the circumstances, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, let's see the bad choices that David makes in his discouragement. Do you remember the first things that David did when he realized, I have to run from Saul? Saul's going to kill me. Jonathan confirmed it. Do you remember that he went to the house of the Lord first and he got some provisions? Do you remember the first place that he went? He went to Gath, which is Philistine country. He thought, I'm leaving Israel. I've got to get out of it. And I'm going to go to the Philistines. But immediately, one of the men from the king recognized him, brought it up to the king, and David realized his life was in danger, so he pretended to be insane. The Bible says he spit all over his beard, which would make anybody go, I don't want to stay away from that guy. And then he left. Now, for around 10 years, he's been away from the Philistines. But at a moment where he feels he's going to be captured by Saul, in a moment of despair, in a moment of discouragement, he says in 1 Samuel 27, or it says, and David said in his heart, I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. I just can't keep having these close calls. I'm going to perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. I'm going to leave the land of Israel and I'm going to go live among the enemies. This is like a Christian who says, there's nothing better for me than to leave church and go out and live in the world, to live apart from God, to live among the ungodly. It's not that we aren't scattered among the ungodly, because we are. We have a unique job given to us by God to be the light of the world. But we are also to encourage one another, to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, to be strengthening and lifting one another up, iron sharpening iron. This is what God wants from us, that we would dwell with one another, showing the love of Christ to each other so the world can see that we are his disciples. That's what Jesus said in several different places, especially in the book of John. But he wants to go to the Philistines. He wants to get away from Israel because he thinks it's the best thing to do. Now, one of the things that you're going to know, he's going to stay with the Philistines for 1 year and 4 months. He doesn't pray that we know of until the very end of it, when circumstances go from bad to worse. When he goes from the frying pan into the fire, David finally calls out and prays. Another thing that we'd find is that there were no psalms written during this period in David's life. You can almost find a psalm written by David in every period of his life. But this time, we don't find any song, a psalm that David wrote when he was living with the Philistines. We don't ever find it because David's doing his own thing here. This is David saying, I'm going to perish. I'm not going to trust in God, my fortress. And how often does David say that in his psalms? God's my fortress. I'm going to trust in him. Now David's like, I got to get out of here or one day Saul's going to kill me. Then he says, and Saul will despair of me. See, David's despairing of Saul, but now he's saying, I'm going to go to the Philistines. He won't know where to find me, and he's going to despair of me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. So this is David's plan, to go to the land of the Philistines. Verse 2, then David arose and went over with 600 men. These were the mighty men of David, who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's widow. Now, David takes his 600 men and their families and his two wives, and he takes them into the land of the Philistines. When we make a decision that I'm going to take things into my own hands, God hasn't handled this too well, it's been a long time, we take people with us, not really knowing that we take people with us all the time, but we do take people with us. And David took these men and his wives into a dangerous situation, which for believers, David's a believer, we're believers, for believers, it's always a dangerous thing for us to not trust God, but to think I'm going to do it my way. We probably fall into this category the same as David did. So David takes these 600 men and brings them into this dangerous place. And it was told Saul, verse 4, that David had fled to Gath. So he sought him no more. Saul had spent all of his time and energy seeking after David. But now he finds out he's in the Philistines, so he stops chasing him. So it worked. And David said to Achish, "If I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town or country that I may dwell there." Now, why would David go when he first ran from Saul, realize he was in danger, then leave, a decade later, go back to the Philistines? Precisely for that reason. The king of the Philistines has had time to learn that Saul is hunting David. They know what's going on. And they know David's coming there for refuge. He's coming there as a place of protection. And so the king allows David to come in and stay there running from the king. And David says to him, "Let me have a city to dwell in." Verse 6, so Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore, Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now, the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months. David made his living by attacking people, including the Amalekites. The Amalekites are, it's interesting, they attacked Israel some 400 years before this when they were taken out of Egypt. And the Amalekites went to the rear of the ranks of the people leaving Israel. And when someone would straggle behind, the Amalekites would take them and kill them and raid from them. They left with the booty of Egypt. They left with the riches of Egypt. And so they would take and steal from these people who would lag behind. And it took them a while to figure it out. And they had to turn around and fight against the Amalekites. And you remember the battle where Moses is standing up on the mountain and Joshua's fighting the battle down below. And when Moses' hands would start to go down, the battle would go towards the Amalekites. And when his hands would go back up, it would go towards Israel. And so two men from Israel got rocks and brought him over and sat him down on it and then held up his arms. They supported him so that they would win the battle. And then God said a judgment against the Amalekites. "I will destroy you completely." The judgment against the Amalekites is similar to the judgment against the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But God used fire and brimstone to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God used Israel, the nation, to judge them and destroy them. And so God had said to Saul, remember, "Saul, you destroy the Amalekites." That was his job. When Samuel showed up, Saul said, "I've done everything the Lord commanded me to do." And Samuel, who was blind at this point, old and blind, said, "Then why do I hear cows mooing? What's that noise I hear?" And he had taken the king of the Amalekites captive, but now there's still Amalekites here that David goes out and raids against. And he kills everyone that he raids against them. And then he goes back and tells King Achish, when King Achish says, "Where did you raid today, David?" David says, "Well, I went to the houses of Judah, or I went to some other place." So he claimed to Achish that he was going to Judah to raid, which would make him hated by the people of Judah. So he's deceiving Achish. He's raiding the Amalekites, the Girgashites, and the Gerites. He's killing everyone that's there so they can't tell on him. And now he's coming and saying that he's raiding against Israel. So David, a couple of things here. Number one, the Amalekites, there has been a command to kill all of the Amalekites. God's judgment against them. An Amalekite will end up killing Saul in the end. They will still be around. But there has been no such command given to the Girgashites or the Gerites. But David raids in all three of these areas and kills them. So David is now making a living by being abandoned, really, at best, and coming back and telling Achish that he has been raiding in Israel. So that brings us to 1 Samuel chapter 28. And it says, now it happened, and this is verse 1, "Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war, to fight against Israel." So David's been there now for over a year, raiding and lying to Achish. And Achish said to David, "You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle." They're going to fight Israel. He thinks David has been raiding in Israel this whole time. And so he tells David, you're gonna go out to battle with me. Now David's been lying. However, now he's gonna have to line up with the Philistines in battle array against Israel that he has been anointed king for. See how things get really complicated really fast? Do you see how things go in a direction that you might have never thought that they would end up going? See, God knows everything that's going to happen. God's got the perspective from heaven. He knows the future. And so God's able to work in our lives in a unique way. We don't know any of that. And when we think we've got things handled under control, we really don't. And so he said, you will surely know that you will go out with me to battle, you and the men. Then verse 2. So David said to Achish, surely you know what your servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore, I will make you one of my chief guardians forever. So now David joined the Philistines. He's living with the Philistines, but now he's joined the Philistines. It reminds me of Lot leaving Abraham, moving towards the well-watered plains of Sodom, and then eventually living in the city, and then being at the gates of the city, which would mean that he was one of the rulers of the city. So he had eventually moved into Sodom and become one of them. And this is exactly what's happened to David. Now David is one of them. So now we go to 1 Samuel 29. The rest of 28 we'll cover next week. It has to do with Saul. The scene shifts to Saul, and we'll get there next week because we want to look at that scene and chapter 31, which deals with this battle we're looking at. The battle that's coming together that David now has said, I'm gonna go fight with, is in chapter 31. So we'll get the rest of 28 and 31 when we gather together next week. So let's go on to chapter 29, verse 1. Then the Philistines gathered together all of their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by the fountains, which is in Jezreel. So now the Philistines have lined up in battle array, and so have the Israelites facing against one another. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and thousands. But David and his men passed in review in the rear with Achish. So all the lords of the Philistines are taking their armies by and they're passing in review, which means that people are screaming and hollering as they're getting ready to go out into battle to defeat Israel. And David passes by with his 600 men. And Achish is with him as well. Then the princes of the Philistines said, what are these Hebrews doing here? Basically, they're saying, are you out of your mind? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, who has been with me all of these days or these years? And to this day, I have found no fault in him since he has defected to me. See, Achish knew exactly what had happened. He has defected to me. Now, David has lied to him. David hasn't been upfront with him. David has deceived him. So he really doesn't think he knows what he knows. But yet he sees this as what it is. Since he defected to me. But the princes and the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him, and do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become our adversaries, for with what could he reconcile himself to his master? So see, all of them know, the Philistines know, that he is separated from Saul. How could he reconcile himself with his master? This is why David could go down there now. When David first left from Saul, they didn't know that Saul was hunting him. But now they know that Saul had been hunting David for a long time. And so what better way for him to reconcile with his master if not with the heads of these men? He's saying, David's gonna get out in battle and he's gonna turn in battle and he's gonna fight against us. Now, scholars are split as to whether or not David had joined the Philistines and was gonna fight against Israel, or to whether or not he was going to do what the Philistines said he was going to do. And since David was already raiding the Girgashites and the Gurites and the Amalekites, there are some who believe that God rescues David by these princes of the Philistines, that David would have went and fought. That would have been such a great sin for David. He's already got a lot of problems, right? We're studying the life of David, and you find yourself each week going, this is the guy that God said is a man after my own heart, which we have to keep emphasizing. He said, this is a man after my own heart. And in reality, when we look at all of these things that David does in his position of authority, absolute power corrupts absolutely, we say, and we see David in that situation, a lot of men would be like David, do the things that David had done. But we find him here again. And so they don't want him to go. Verse 5, is this not David of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And Achish called David and said, surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright and you're going out and you're coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. Little does he know, it hadn't been upright at all. For to this day, I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Therefore, return now and go in peace that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. So David said to Achish, but what have I done? That's what he said when his older brother wanted to ask him about coming out and seeing the army to fight the Goliath. He said to Abinadab, what have I done? So he says to Achish, the same thing. A lot of years have gone by, still the same person. And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you that I might not go and fight against the enemies of the Lord, my king? Now, if Achish knew what had really been going on, he'd be able to bring it out. And then Achish answered to David, I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to battle. Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went to Jezreel. So now David goes back to Ziklag and the army of the Philistines go to fight and battle with Israel. This is the battle that Saul will die in. This is the battle that Jonathan, the close friend of David, will die in. We'll be looking at how David responds to learning of the deaths of both of these men next week.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.